fruit
Sunday. So, Lord, we thank you for blessing the youth. Thank you for baptizing them in the Holy Spirit and fire and the love of God, our next generation. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to be speaking again on prayer. What an awesome subject, right? You guys are excited about prayer. But this morning, when we had pre-service prayer, I'm telling you, pre-service prayer that starts at 9:15 really sets a tone here. I need to go down just a little bit. I can tell it could just all of a sudden do this thing. Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. But as I was in prayer this morning and this week, you know, when you're speaking on a subject like prayer, I am obviously all of a sudden the enemy will attack you in the thing you're preaching and declaring. And, you know, the enemy's attacks always come because it's always going to say you're not measuring up. You're not doing enough. And I tell you what, if you listen to that voice of the enemy, it'll start you chasing your tail and spinning and trying to measure up and trying to, whatever, accomplish something through our own efforts or work. Amen? I like what Apostle Paul says. Hey, I worked harder than all the other apostles. But then what did he say? It wasn't me, but the grace of God. This is exactly what it says. The grace of God working in him. So I've learned as I'm maturing in the Lord, how many mature people we have in the Lord in here? As I'm maturing in the Lord, when God starts speaking about things, his voice in me comes, that still small voice of encouragement. And his loving kindness to challenge me or to correct me, to chastise me. It never comes in the form of condemnation because I belong to him. He's a perfect father. I said he's a perfect father. Amen. He's a perfect father. And so as we were praying this morning, after the last couple days, as I've been preparing for prayer, and the enemy was speaking, saying, Chad, you know you don't pray enough. But that's not the way he comes. He'll come with an impression against your soul. Try to put thoughts in your mind. You know you're not praying enough. But you know, God's so faithful when you don't give in to these lies of the enemy. Because this morning, as we were in pre-service prayer, the Lord was speaking to my heart and saying, Chad, I'd like you to listen more. See, the enemy is pushing. You got to do this and that. But he says, I want to release peace in my people. I want them to hear my still, small voice. Amen? And then I started thinking about Elijah. You guys know Elijah in the Bible, right? And he has that battle, against the prophets of Baal, remember? But I don't know how many hundreds of prophets of Baal there was, and there was just Elijah. Amen? And so they're cutting themselves, they're crying out to a false god all day long, and nothing happens. Even Elijah's taunting them. Maybe your God is in the restroom. Maybe he's in the can, right? He's in the loo. He's in the porta potty. Am I getting through? He was mocking them, and then he simply has a prayer, and God answers by fire. Answers by fire. But then all of a sudden he says, "Man, this whole society, this whole country is going to turn around." And then like that, he has the king of Israel at that time, who was, it slips my mind, Ahab and Jezebel, saying, man, you're a dead man. And so what he does, he runs, and then he sits down and he says, I just want to die. He goes from a great victory to having suicidal thoughts. Suicidal thoughts. See, it didn't turn out exactly how he wanted. And I know in our society right now what we're facing, it's not happening the way we had thought. But there was great victories, and all of a sudden everything seems to change on its head. But I'm telling you, God is still in control. He is still all-powerful. He's still doing things in our society. He's exposing darkness and bringing it to light. Amen? But he even an angel appears to him, gives him something to eat and a jar of water, and he goes back to sleep. I just want to die. But then God wakes him up, and then he goes to the cave, and he hears the earthquake, and it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, right? God wasn't in the fire. And then what was the next one? Help me. The wind, right? Maybe like a tornado-like wind. God wasn't in the wind. And then he hears the still small voice of his Father. Lord, I pray, whilst everything's going on, that we would shut down sometimes some things and listen for your still small voice. It's what brought him out of that depression. It's what brought him out of that attack of the enemy. It's what brought him out of that being so disappointed that things weren't going the way he had planned on them, following an amazing victory. But who ended up winning in the end? It was God that turned Israel that time around. God, we thank you for turning things around. But the point being is his still small voice brings peace. It brings comfort. Amen. Lord, today we thank you for that comfort, that peace. Nothing wrong with prayer and fervent prayer. And I love the fervent worship that we have here. But during that time, the answer for me that God gave me when the enemy was attacking me, you need to do more. No, my Father's, he says, you need to fellowship with me. Hear my voice. Son, I love you. I'll bring you out of some things that you need to do differently. I'll show you those things. Deciphering the voice of the enemy, who always brings condemnation. We'll talk a little bit today. Always bringing condemnation that you don't measure up, or God is somehow upset with you. Or somehow you'll get his favor, or he'll be totally happy with you at some point, but we can't really tell what that point is. See, the enemy will never let you get to that point. It'll always need to be more. You'll never be able to be in rest. Even in your struggles, you might be here struggling with your thought life. You might be struggling with a sin. This is what you do. Say, Lord, thank you. I belong to you. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And Father, I declare my righteousness in you, and this thing that I'm dealing with is going to be broken by you, by your presence and by your spirit. But see, what the enemy will do is he'll bring the condemnation and say, you're not in fellowship. You can't hear his voice because of your struggle, even if you've given into it. A just man falls 7 times, amen? So this, don't listen to any voice of condemnation. That's how we grow stronger in him. That's how we mature. When we listen to a voice of condemnation, we don't grow because we just repeat. We get up on our own strength and do what we need to do, and then we fail. Then somehow we try to come up with a way of showing our repentance, amen? Maybe some more works, and then it just repeats again. Don't listen to that voice of condemnation. Say, I just pray, Lord, let us hear your still small voice. We need that. And each individual, speaking to each individual here who knows you as their personal Savior, Father, that's what we need. You agree? Lord, I receive of that. I receive of that. In the midst of all the voices that I hear, TV, right, online, football, all these different noise, things vying for our attention, things vying for our ear. Sometimes it can be really good stuff, learning and reading and absorbing and information, and it can just overwhelm us. And pretty soon it's like, we're not even realizing that still small voice that wants to lead and direct. Sometimes it's not about a lot of doing and talking, but listening. Amen. Don't you love his grace in your life? Don't you love his desire to destroy the works of the enemy in every area of our life as we mature in him, as we grow up in him? See, God's going to do a great work in this nation, but I believe with all my heart he's maturing us so that we can be a benefit, that whatever giftings and abilities and things that God has placed in your life will come to the forefront to work in his church. Amen. Amen. I love him. Thank you, Lord. You're always faithful to speak to us. You're always faithful to speak to us. Pray and thanksgiving. I know you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Very disciplined in your eating. That now starts on January 2nd, by the way. thank you, Father. James 1:5, we'd start last week, remember. But if any of you lacks wisdom, right, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. You know, wisdom, when I was looking up in the Greek, just means wisdom higher or lower, worldly or spiritual. God gives us wisdom in this world. It comes from him, amen, from our inner man. From the inner man, God gives us that wisdom to see situations as they really are, amen. And part of that wisdom is also discernment. True wisdom has discernment in it, discerning the times, hearing his voice, God giving us everything we need. I'm not talking about educational smarts, and I don't mean anything about, I don't put that down at all. Nothing wrong with education, doctorates, engineers, medicine. That all does an awesome purpose in society. Amen? But it's also that without God that's put our society where it's at. See, wisdom without God, it ends up being insanity. Do you agree? Absolutely. So we need that wisdom that also provides discernment. And you know, I'm going to start out with this way. We have access to wisdom and discernment through our position with Christ. It's through our position with him. Romans 1:3-4 says, concerning the Son of... this is a powerful scripture. New King James Version. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whose Lord? Our Lord. Amen? Who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So in the flesh, Jesus was fulfilling a promise God made to King David. You will never fail to have somebody on your throne. Well, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that Davidical covenant that David had with God, amen, that God made with David, you'll always have somebody on your throne. So in the flesh, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, amen? But in the spirit, it fulfilled a promise to Abraham. You will be the father of many nations, and that's you and I today. So in the flesh, he fulfilled a Davidical covenant of Jesus, or David always having somebody on his throne. But in the Spirit, being the Son of God who was raised from the dead, that allowed you and I to be partakers of the promises of Abraham. Amen? In the spiritual realm. Not in the realm of the flesh, but in the Spirit. Putting us in a position for the promises of Abraham. Putting us in a position of that covenant walk with Abraham. Amen? That is powerful. That is so powerful. Titus 3:5-7. Just a reminder of his grace, of who you are in him. Am I the only one the devil tries to beat up in during the week? Not measuring up? For me, it's always, you got to do more. You got to do more. And for God, it's like, no. Maybe it's time, and for some of us, I'm just throwing this out there, as far as our trying to please God, maybe it's time to do a little less. Maybe it's time for some of us to do a little less and to hear his small voice a little more. Amen? Titus 3:5-7 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Who's we? You and I? Amen? But according to his mercy, he saved us. Isn't that good news? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us. He's not going to pour it out on us. He's already poured it out on you. If you belong to him, his Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, as far as it coming out and the gifts and the power of God, that's a different subject. But if you know him, he has poured out and lavished his Holy Spirit upon you. You have access to all the knowledge, all the wisdom, and all the power that you could think of or want or desire through him. We're not waiting for more. Maybe we need to release more, but we're not waiting for any more. Amen? His word said, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by what? Justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How many heirs we have in here? Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Your position with Him. You are a son and daughter of the God Most High. Amen. John 3, 5, and 6. And then another scripture. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you know Him, you're born of the Spirit. Your flesh, it talks about Romans 6 being dead to sin, but alive unto Christ Jesus through that Spirit that lives in you. Did you know the ability for you to live a power-filled life is not dependent upon your flesh? How you're born, the giftings, the ability and talents, it's the knowledge and the DNA that God placed inside you that makes you victorious in this life. That's good news for some of us. You know, amen? Depending on what side of the tracks you were born on, amen? I have access to all the wisdom I need in my life through the presence and Spirit of God. That's good news. Not because of where I was born, or anything, it's based because I'm born again and His Spirit lives in me. Everything we need in Christ Jesus. Everything we need in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, we see things, when I talk a little bit about thankfulness, we see unthankfulness rampant right now. I feel like in this time that we're in right now, in time, I read Romans 1, and I see a lot of things that are familiar that look exactly what we see with unbelievers. See, Romans 1, 22, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Giving up the wisdom of God is foolishness. They actually decided to become foolish. It's a temptation of the world that the wisdom of man is all we need today. We can see where it gets us. But you know what started in the garden, because it said when Eve saw, after being deceived by the words of the serpent, she says she saw that fruit was pleasant to the eye and pleasant, you know, to eat. It looked good. It said it looked to make one wise. It would make her wise. Having everything she needed in that garden, her and Adam, she was thinking, I'm missing out. There's more wisdom. I'm telling you, in Christ Jesus, we have all the wisdom we need. Amen? Once again, I'm not talking about educational and those things that God has put you through in your life. But I'm talking about His wisdom from the inner man through the Holy Spirit for everything pertaining in our life to be victorious in Him. And we're going to talk about that. Romans 1, 20 and 21 says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Who? Those that have turned towards the wisdom of man. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, in this Christmas season, I think that one of the most powerful forms of prayer, the most powerful forms of keeping the enemy from deceiving us, is thankfulness. I know it is. It is thankfulness. And we see in this Romans, these people that he's talking about said they were unthankful. Part of their downfall of deception is they became unthankful. They turned the other way and said, no, God's not, He can't help us. No, God can't provide. No, God can't turn things around. And they became unthankful and turned to the wisdom of man, which became total futile darkness. You know, 13 times the Israelites, I read, complained and grumbled. That after being in bondage for 430 years, Moses takes them out of bondage, right? Leads them out. God's miracles working through Moses. And the thing that kept them from getting into the promised land in 11 days and wandered for 40 years was unthankfulness. Grumbling and complaining, amen? Could you imagine seeing what they saw at the Red Sea and then turning around and grumbling? Could you see the manna and the quail and then turn around saying, who is this Moses think he is? Amen? They were making banana bread. What else? They were making all these things with manna. And then they had so much quail. God says it's going to be coming out of your nose. They became unthankful. The key, I think, today where we're at as Father is to continue to have a heart of thankfulness. It's easy to look at going out there and get very angry, very enraged, and if we're not careful, then become very depressed. And not hear his small voice anymore. Father, thank you for the small voice. Thank you for that spirit of thankfulness. 13 times I read, 430 years, you think they'd say, we've had enough of this. We know there's a deliverer coming. God sends Moses, amen. But they could not get past themselves. They could not walk by faith. They could not get past just seeing what they saw. One day God's providing, the next day they're throwing a fit. Thank you, Lord, for a spirit of thankfulness in your body. I said, thank you, Lord, for a spirit of thankfulness in your body. So what about thankfulness? I got some points. Number one, thankfulness is confession of who he is. Hebrews 13:15 says in the Amplified, through him, therefore, let us all at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. I don't know about you. I confess he's my provider. I don't know about you, but I confess that he's my Savior. I don't know about you, but I confess he's my wisdom. And I say that with thankfulness. With thankfulness, amen? The fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Or you could bring the sacrifice of praise when you're in your vehicle. You can do it in your desk chair, when you're out in the garden, when you're digging a ditch, you're pounding nails. Whatever you're doing, you can bring a sacrifice of praise to your Savior. Because he does not dwell in a temple anymore. He dwells in you and I. Hallelujah! Amen! Dwelling in me. Going everywhere I go. I don't even have to ask him to come. He's with me. He sticks closer than a brother. Amen. His anointing is in me, with me, leading and guiding me. And when I struggle, he doesn't leave. It's a time I think he wants to talk to us more than ever. Amen. Amen. Number one, thankfulness is confession of who he is. Number two, thankfulness is remembering what he has done. Amen. A powerful tool is remembering other times that he's been faithful to you. And he has carried you through. He never left you or forsook you. Amen? Psalms 9, 1 and 2 in the ESV translation says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. See, Israel out in the desert, if they had been thankful and said, Lord, you part the Red Sea, and then destroyed all our enemies behind us. Not only did he get them through safely the Red Sea, he destroyed the enemies where they never saw the Egyptians again. Amen? See, if they had started to be thankful and said, Lord, you did it before. By gosh, you're going to do it again. Lord, you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. I thank you, Father God, that the answer is mine in Jesus' name. Thankfulness, remembering what he has done is a powerful tool against what? Satan, you're not going to fool me. I'm not listening. I'm remembering what he's done before. I'm remembering what he's done in my marriage. I'm remembering what he's done in my heart. And I don't care how I feel, Lord, I'm going to have a heart of thanksgiving for what you have done. Amen. Hasn't he done wonderful things? If we just stopped church and people came up and started giving testimonies, we wouldn't get out till dinner time. We'd still have to cut it short. Thanksgiving for what he has done. Number three, thankfulness is saying, I trust you for today and tomorrow. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in you. Pray without ceasing. Not like you think, man, through the day, communing with God. Amen. Sometimes we get that. We can get that mixed up. Pray without ceasing. We can turn that into an absolute religion if you would like, or a works. But having that heart of hearing his voice. I don't know. I love praying in tongues. And I love praying in tongues so much that sometimes I've told you I've been with people and I'll start praying in tongues. They're like, huh, what are you? I can tell they're looking at me and I just kind of stop and. But praying in the spirit. Anytime I feel anything in my soul realm. See, sometimes we can be so bundled up with things that we aren't even aware of what's going on in our soul man. Because it's just in a knot always. God loves to release that knot through his Holy Spirit, amen, setting us free from fear and anxiety. It's not going to be perfect until he comes again, but to come to the point that I'm very aware in my emotions, in my heart, what's going on, so when things come in to try to bring a disturbance, I just start praying in tongues. I start saying, what is this, Lord? What's going on? Is there, what would you show me by your wisdom what I need to do? And I just start praying in tongues and praying in thanksgiving. Making my request known to God. Amen. And then what I'm doing is I'm monitoring, is the enemy trying to shoot me with an arrow? That shield of faith. Amen. That praise and worship. I'm not foolish to your devices anymore, Satan. I'm aware of his still small voice that's leading and guiding me in Jesus' name. I've got a spirit and a heart of thanksgiving. So I'm not going to buy into that anymore. Amen? That's part of maturity, growing in him. I'm telling you, the enemy's hammering you right now with things. Don't give up or give in. God still loves you. You're still born again. God is teaching you how to stand up, resist the devil, and he will flee. Learn to resist him. Then as he begins to flee, then you become aware of his games, his actions, his words, his deceptions, his condemnation. And you say, I'm not buying it anymore. Take it somewhere else because I'm no longer buying that. Amen? It's no longer working on me. Hallelujah. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Didn't say give thanks for everything that's happened. The giving thanks that he's bringing you through it, that he's washed and cleansed you, that he's healing you of traumas in your life in Jesus' name. We do not have to live a life bruised in our hearts, but with trauma. He's the healer of the heart. He understands. He delivers. He sets free. He sets the captive free. Oh, I'm telling you, only he can heal. He says that in no way will he cast out a bruised reed. The broken. He draws them to him. The hurts, the disappointments, things that have been done, things that have happened. God heals those with his power. He has always healed them and he always will. He's the healer of hearts. He's a restorer of souls. God starts to do that, sometimes you don't even know how it happened. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, when did that thing in my heart change? And I don't even know. It's not always a traumatic experience in the flesh that God does something. It can be, right? Emotions are powerful. It can be, but it's not always that case. Many times it's in the stillness of the night. Many times it's as I preach the word right now, God could be healing your heart. You won't even know it. Until a situation arises again where it would have touched that and you say, wait a second, I'm not responding like that anymore. God has changed that and healed that within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a healer. He's a rewarder. He sets the captive free. Jesus Christ is not just a set of thoughts that somehow we get out of here and we go to heaven. No, he changes lives. He makes us whole in Jesus' name. He changes us. He heals marriages by his Spirit of truth. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to see the power of God move in our services. But I don't want to just assume he's going to. I know he's not going to do it how he did it in the past. I cannot recreate anything. I've been in bodies that have done that, and it's not good. But I know that he wants to move in his body. Pray for this pastor. I don't want to hold anything back. But I want it to be a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. Pray that God will move in here in spite of me. Amen? In spite of me. I'm always praying. Believe me, I pray for you guys constantly. God's blessing on your life. Healing in your relationships. God revealing Jesus Christ to you afresh and anew. He is a person. Amen? He loves you and I. And he's there as he continues to mold and make us and plant new things in our heart. Amen? He'll do that to the day we draw our last breath. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this revelation of grace that God has brought into his body. It's wonderful. But I'm not going to camp right here in that bubble bath of grace. Amen? I'm open. Say, Lord, lead us however you want to lead us. Amen? I believe in this last days that God's signs and wonders and miracles are going to be done much more outside of the church than inside the church. Through you. Not just through a guy up front, but through his body. Where there'll be miracles happening and moving in power of the Holy Spirit that I'll hear about. It's just going to be normal for you. Let's not put God in the box that he has to do it here. Amen? Yes, we're open to whatever he wants to do here, but out in the highways and the byways, in the offices, out in wherever you're working, with your friends, God doing miracles, amen? And then coming back to church and reporting, look what the Lord has done. Woo! Amen. In Romans 8:28, I had read that, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen? I'm learning when things don't go the right way that I don't let my emotions just carry me down a lane that takes me 2 or 3 days to come back from. Amen? Hallelujah. Thankfulness in the following areas. Governmental and or societal wisdom that we need. You know, we have not been given a spirit of fear. I'm reading about this, whatever, new variant, COVID out. I see all this freaking out. And then I read that the symptoms, that they're milder than what we just dealt with. But you can feel that fear. You see it. When you don't have the wisdom of God or an understanding of God, fear just takes you to the craziest places. Fear will destroy a life. I said fear will destroy a society. So when I started reading, I said, this doctor in Africa, and he started giving the symptoms that are milder. I said, what in the world? Thinking of that scripture, it says, it's part of the curse of the law, man. It says, just one will make 1,000 of you flee. You and I are not under the curse of the law. We're not under the curse of this earth. We live in it. We experience the curse still. Sometimes I work with people and say, yep, I'm still here with the curse of the law. We deal with it, but with you and I, as far as our lives, our families, we're not under the curse of the law. Amen? We're under a new covenant of grace. The promises of Abraham belong to us. Did you know the promises of Abraham belong to us? I told you about those many years ago, I was reading the blessing and the curses in Deuteronomy 28, and I said, how come I all these curses I can identify with? If I can identify with those curses, why can't I identify with the blessings? Yeah. I'm telling you, we're under the blessings of Abraham. I'm not saying in arrogance. I'm saying it because we are the children of God. Amen? Health, wholeness, provision, wisdom, and the peace to enjoy our life. People that see that peace, that's when they say, what do you have that I need? The peace of God. Amen. How about in marriage? The most powerful tool in marriage is thankfulness for your mate. Now, I'm not talking about those in abusive relationships. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who need help in a marriage or whatever. God, a spirit of thankfulness can change that. I'm telling you, a heart of thanksgiving. You know, the opposite of critical is what? Being thankful. Amen? Being thankful. God loves strong, healthy marriages. And you know, one of the things I've come to learn through, I've been married 34 years now. Right, hon? Yeah. But one thing I've learned is the greatest thing for a marriage is allowing yourself to mature in the Lord. That is the biggest healing. The number one thing for a good, healthy marriage is maturing in the Lord. I've had people that'll come, and I don't mean, and I'm not coming against people, but they'll say, hey, we need marriage counseling or this or that. But they don't attend a church at all. They don't realize that what they're looking for is the wisdom of man to bring, give me some points I can manage, some things I could do to make this marriage work or to make it get better. But I've learned through many years of going to counseling and this and that, in my earlier years, which I won't get into, it didn't help me. If it points to Christ and His goodness and to His mercy and to His grace, yes. But I remember as God was changing my heart, I was attending church, and grace was being unfolded in my life. Man, it did a miracle in my marriage. It did what no man could do in my marriage, maturing in the Lord. I'm still maturing there. I've come to realize that when some things that are struggles in my marriage, and I used to just have to make them evident, boom, bam, you know, get the machine gun out, da, 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 da. Start mowing everybody down. We're changing some things here. But I've noticed as I just bless my wife and I'm thankful for her, some of those things that were weaknesses or I thought were weaknesses, either I don't care about them anymore or God changed them in her heart. Changed them in her heart. As I allow the Spirit of God, because a marriage is, they're one flesh. So as I allowed the Lord to change me, my marriage improved. I used to say, you know, when I was defenseful, I would always say, why is it only me that needs to change? Why is it just me? Then I found out years later, it was mostly me that needed to change. And I was okay with it. Thankfulness in a marriage and allowing the Holy Spirit in you to mature you will give you the sweetest marriage you could imagine. It will, I'm telling you. And to the wisdom of the world, it doesn't make sense that a Spirit of God, being with your brothers and sisters, worshiping in His presence, allowing Him to soften your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to place wisdom in you, He can change the most difficult of people. He does change the most difficult of people. He takes a marriage that is adversaries, and He makes them a sweet, loving couple. That's what the Spirit of God does. You see, a lot of people, they're looking for a magic bullet or a magic pill, and there just isn't, except through the Holy Spirit. Counseling that leads you to recovering in Christ with His love. with his goodness. It's amazing to me. My testimony is this, is being in the house of the Lord consistently, I'm just telling you about me, absolutely changed my marriage. It changed me because I started maturing in him and he started showing me things. And I started having a thankful, praying Thanksgiving for my wife. Amen? Do you love him still? Okay. Finances, provision, Philippians 4, 6. You guys know this scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you're, you know what I've learned to pray? This is a lot of my prayer, Lord, now. Prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for meeting that. Thank you for changing that individual. Thank you for blessing my church. I start putting a spirit of thankfulness in my prayer, knowing that the answer is already coming. Knowing that because I'm positioned with Christ, in Christ, the answer already belongs to me. And that reminds me, I have to tell you, I'm sorry, will you let me just say, give you a little testimony? Because it happened this week. I lost my wedding ring 2 years or longer ago. My wedding ring, you know? And so I lost it, and I started praying, Lord, where is that wedding ring? What happened? And, you know, I would forget about it, and occasionally I'd pray and say, Lord, there's nothing lost that cannot be found. I don't care if it's in the dump. You can bring it back. I said, he can bring it back. So I just kept praying about that. And then this week, I prayed about it again. Lord, I want that wedding ring back. I had this one that in its place for those 2 years, it was like $5. I'm serious. And so I had somebody come over to my house who was going to replace my seat in my truck. And so he says, we got to take that seat out of your truck. You know what I said before he took that seat out? I said, Lord, wouldn't that be wonderful if my ring was in there? You know that to the right of your seat, that no man's land? How did my ring get down there? I have no idea. How it went from my finger down in that into the abyss. So he's going to reupholster the seat, the driver's seat of my truck, and he pulls it out, and the first thing I see is my ring. And a ton of other things, about 15 pins. And a fries from McDonald's 10 years ago. I thought, what if you put this in the microwave? Could you still eat it? I bet you could. I wasn't willing to try. But isn't that, you know, sometimes our prayers, when we're praying with Thanksgiving, it doesn't happen like exactly how we want it. See, the minute I started praying for that ring, it was mine. He knew the day I was going to find it. But I just kept it, saying, Lord, would think about it from time to time. And he knew that day. And he knew it'd be this week when we're talking on prayer. Amen? It is amazing to me, and I got that thing back. Still fits, too. Hallelujah. Is thank you, Lord. Keep those things that you're praying. Keep praying. Don't give up on prayer. God loves answering prayer. I think we've allowed ourselves to become discouraged in praying. It's time to pray again, saints. It's time to pray again. Amen? And another thing I'm going to say, I'm getting off point, is because I was thinking, is I used to, with prayer, kind of be like this, because whether I realized that in my subconscious, so the way I was raised, is prayer had to be always with fervency, with tears. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I thought that's really the only prayer that God answers. And so me and Gina would get a prayer request, and I said, well, let's wait till we get home. We can, you know, roll up our sleeves and we can get down in prayer. And then forget about it. We would, you know, half the time forget to pray later. Or 2 days later, you say, oh, man, we forgot to pray. But now, guess what we do now? We just stop and we hold hands or whatever and say, Lord, we bring this before you. The only God that answers prayer, the only God that hears prayer, and we just simply pray. And we thank God in faith. We pray in faith. And so God even opened my eyes saying, Chad, sometimes you're struggling with prayer because you got a preconceived ideal what it needs to look like. I used to think it had to look like I had to go in my closet, and there's nothing wrong with that if you do it. I had to get on my knees, and an hour or two later, I could come out. That's how I was raised or how I thought. To where prayer wasn't enjoyable at all. And I'm not opposed to that because it says in the book of Acts when Paul was came through and visited the church at Ephesus, and they knew it was going to be the last time they saw him. It says they went down near where he was going to board on the ship, and the leaders got around and said they got on their knees and prayed. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I've learned that I could be in my office and I just lean back in my chair and I just start thanking him and praising him, communing with him right there for his love for me. His love for you, just right there. He loves us. We've got these things of, God, I've got to get down on my knees for you to hear me. He hears me when I'm on my way to work. He hears me when I'm at work. He hears me when I'm in the shower. Amen? Amen. We all have a good voice in the shower. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We all sound like angels in the shower. There's no better place to worship and praise God in prayer than in the shower. In the shower, we think we need to be on the worship team, don't we? Then your wife tells you, I don't think so. Amen. Amen. In our finances, knowing that He's going to supply all our needs. Is there anything that can make us as anxious as money? And when they start talking about, I start talking with my wife about budgets, our blood pressure just goes up. I don't want to go on that strain right now. Amen. Finance, and allow yourself to pray in His freedom. In His freedom, knowing your position with Him already. Knowing that there's things, yes, that you still need to grow up in your life, maturity, but allow His Spirit to bring those changes. Pray about those things, but allow His Spirit to bring that victory in that area. It's coming. It'll happen. I guarantee it'll happen because you belong to Him. Pray in a freedom. Pray in your position. I want to read from Romans 5:17-21 as we get close to wrapping up this Sunday. Have you enjoyed His presence this morning? Romans 5:17-21 in the Passion Translation, it says, death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, who's that one man? Adam. Death reigned as king over humanity. Isn't that the truth? But now, everybody say now. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life? Reigning as kings in life, amen? Enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah, amen? Amen. Enjoying His righteousness in my life, amen? 18, in other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, right, in the garden, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to us. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to Him. If you know Him as your Savior, you're acceptable to Him. There's just no other way. There's just no other way. Don't allow your heart to tell you that's not enough, that His sacrifice is not enough. It is enough. And then allow the Holy Spirit who will live in you to change those things that are in you. But during that time, relax in His perfect acceptance of you. You are His child. Amen? You are His child. And the thing is He loves to hear our prayers. You know, James 5, 17 and 18 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and we started with Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for three years and 6 months. James 5, 17 and 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. They said he had a nature like ours. There was nothing special about Elijah other than he's saying, I am pursuing God. And for us today, say, I am pursuing God through His grace. Grace doesn't make it an excuse for sin. Grace is the only thing that will set you free from sin. You can't do it on your own efforts. And when you know that you are in the Beloved, that He loves you, that you're accepted, that He madly cares for you, man, you can relax. Learn to relax and let Him change you. Glory to glory. The rhythms of grace as He begins to change you. Or like I said before, Paul said, I worked harder than all the other disciples, but not me, but the grace of God that works through me. His grace through you, I'm telling you, is all that you need. It's all that you need. Do you believe that today? Amen. Wanted to mention one more thing. I was looking through I had this journal of 20 plus years ago, maybe 25. And I was just reading, and it was all my prayers. And I was amazed about all the prayers, how I prayed, Lord, help me get rid of this. Lord, help me quit doing that. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Just sin conscious. When I became righteous conscious, that's saying, yeah, I'm guilty, Lord, I get it. But when I became righteous conscious that I'm born again in Him, many of those things at that, I'm not perfect by any means. I'm not saying that, hon. You'll tell me later, what did you say? Remember I told you my wife is a Holy Spirit too? But all those things that I was looking on that, I didn't struggle with anymore. And it happened when I became conscious of His righteousness in me. Those things fell off, broke off. They're no longer part of my life. They're no longer an addiction in my life in Jesus' name. I've been set free by the grace of God. Amen? As the worship team comes, amen. Can we stand up together? You'll get some blood back in your feet. Thank you, Father. Want to mention, too, in Romans 8, 26 and 27. Now, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There'll be times where I'm praying and something from inside me will start groaning. That's normal. Allow that groaning. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit praying through you. I think we're in a time where people are groaning in the Spirit. The church is groaning. As you pray, if you feel something coming up from the inner man, just let it out. In your time of prayer, let it out. It's groaning. It's God praying His will through you with groanings that don't make sense. Those groanings are from God. I believe that in this day and age that God is releasing again and anew a groaning in the spirit of man and inside man, praying the will of God. Allow that as you see that, as the Holy Spirit starts speaking to your in your hearts, and He starts speaking things about your future. Listen, I think there's many times where the Spirit will speak to us, but because it's not but anything other than a still small voice, we discount it. No, that's how He speaks. That's how He speaks to you, through a still small voice. Do you love Him today? Yes. Father, yes, amen. Father, we thank You. We just receive of everything today. Lord, we thank You for a heart of thanksgiving, being thankful for what You're doing in our lives. Amen. Father, thank you for those that are married here, for what you're doing in their marriage in Jesus' name. Father, those that are struggling, Lord, in situations, Father, I ask that from the hearts of thankfulness, Father, that you work all things out. Lord, that you're going to work it all out. Father, I pray for just a heart of thanksgiving in that situation. Lord, I pray in those difficult spots there be a heart of thanksgiving more than ever. A revelation from you, the power of thanksgiving. God, thank you for answering my prayers. Father, thank you that, Lord, that you know what I need even before I ask. And so, Lord, I ask for thanks in thanksgiving, Lord, for those answers of prayer. But I pray for a fresh and a new, Lord, just by the Holy Spirit, from an understanding through His Spirit of love and grace, Lord, a fresh desire to pray, a fresh desire to have our voice heard, say, Lord, I'm praying and I'm listening, Father God. Lord, I don't want preconceived ideals of what prayer is supposed to sound like, Father. Lord, I'm born again, I'm your child. Lord, you want to hear me pray. And so always, so pray wherever you're at. So a fresh desire, say, Lord, I'm going to pray. You hear my prayers. And understanding that He answers prayer. Not always in the time frame that we want. Like my wedding ring that I found this week. 2 years, 2+ years. But I, from time to time, saying, Lord, thank you for bringing that ring back. Maybe that's in a relationship with children, grandchildren, whatever. Father, thank you that you hear my prayer. And this thing is going to turn around. I thank you, Jesus, that it's going to turn around. Father, I know it's going to turn around. I don't know when, but suddenly I'm going to get an indication that things are turning. That could be happening right now. In your marriage, continue to thank God. Just saying, thank God, I thank you for a strong, healthy marriage. God, thank you for changing me. And He's faithful, just He'll do that. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just thank you right now. We bless you. We honor you. I pray as we go this week, Lord, I pray that you would just, a heart of thanksgiving, just bubbling up within your people. Amen? Father, a heart of thanksgiving, even through what this country's going through. Even as we approach the Christmas season, Lord, we thank you for a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for breaking bondages off of people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are heirs, Father, joint heirs with Christ. Thank you, Lord, in covenant with you in Jesus' name. We declare that today, Father God. Father, we worship you today and thank you for that, God. As we pray afresh and anew and see you moving on our behalves. And Father, as other people see that, Father God, that confidence saying, what do you have, Father God? That we're mindful that this world is desperately lost and dark without you. As they see thanksgiving on our lips in our circumstances. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.